have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
I don't wanna pretend, I don't wanna play games. Can't lie to myself, not one more day. Been trying to deal with some things that are hard to talk about. I'm going through some changes and I'm having my doubts. Been there for everyone else, now I'm going through. Just gonna have to get used to me not being around.
This is Apostle Dawn Westbrook, Join me on Shabbat Saturday here at Elation Radio at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we Shabbat the Lord and declare the word of the Lord over your life for this hour. Shalom.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God for another day here on Elation Radio with Shabbat Saturday and Apostle Westbrook. And we have a very special guest here with us on today. I pray that the man of God is here and ready and on fire. Certainly the last time he was here in February of last year, he brought forth a very powerful word. Hallelujah. And if you can, or if you have an opportunity, please go back and check it out. It is on YouTube, posted, and it was February the 22nd, I believe, of 2022. Such a strong amen admonition to the body of Christ and also a word of encouragement. But you know what? As the opening song, I think it brought forth something that was poignant, certainly on my heart, and I pray that I know that the Holy Spirit always does all things well. Amen. The woman of God said that she was not okay, and she was tired of pretending. She didn't want to play games anymore in the name of Jesus. She wasn't going to lie to herself and try to fake it until she make it, glory to God, as some Christians do. Amen. Even though the scripture tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight, still there is a truth that we must always honor because of the Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of us. So I am encouraged today, and I want to speak to anyone else, glory to God, that needs encouragement on today. Know this one thing, amen, that the Lord himself said that you can endure all these things through the power of the one who gives you strength, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the power and the anointing of God. Amen. And because of that, you can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You can be fearless in the name of Jesus. So don't be afraid. Don't be scared by your enemies, because the Lord your God is the one who marches with you, who goes before you, who has assigned a legion of angels to walk with you. And you have on the whole armor of God. Amen. Glory to God. You're not supposed to be able to figure it out for yourself. That's why we have the Holy Spirit, who is our advocate, our standby, our intercessor himself, Jesus sitting on the right hand of the Father. You have so many rooting for you. You have so many standing in the gap for you. So be strong. Be fearless in the name of Jesus. No, you can't solve your own problems. Listen, if you could do that, then why would we need a Savior? Why would we need Jesus if that were the case? But he knew, because we could not, amen, without his grace, his enabling power that is able, what? To give us the strength, my glory to God, the strength and the ability to do that which we could not do on our own without him. So be okay today. And I pray that after you hear this profound word from the man of God, who I love, my brother from another mother, amen. You know, I believe that he and I are from the same cloth, because sometimes we're so, we're at each other. Glory to God. Because we're so much alike. Amen. But he is just as passionate. He is just as fervent. And he is just as strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And realize that it is not his ability. Nothing that he has done in and of himself has given him the elevation, has given him the revelation that comes only through intimacy and the relationship, Father. So, hey, this is Apostle Westbrook, and our special guest on today is none other than Bishop Ernest E. Richard, Jr., glory to God, of Power to Stand Ministries. Amen. In Marlboro, Maryland, glory to God. And we are so honored that he is here today. I just want to say thank you, Father, for this opportunity. Thank you for this man of God. Hallelujah. Thank you for the word that is in his mouth. Father God, you are great, and you are worthy of our acknowledgement, our praise, our worship. Hallelujah. This greatness, Lord God, no one can really fathom. If we had 1,000 tongues, the scripture says, it still would not be enough in the name of Jesus. But, Father God, that which we are, we humbly come before you and thank you and acknowledge you, your greatness. Oh, my God, your awesomeness, your majesty, your splendor. You are sovereign, and you are Lord, and you are God. Again, I'm very thankful and just grateful. My heart has gratitude today for the man of God being with us. And, my God, today, if there was anything else that I have left to say, because, listen, this man of God, he has a lot to say, I'm sure. He is not a man of few words, and he is very much settled in where God has placed him and has confidence in that. Amen. He's not a jellyback. Bishop Ernest T. Richard, welcome, man of God.
Well, the Lord bless you. I was starting to ask, who is she talking about? I thought she asked me to come on today. Nonetheless, so happy to be with you. I often say
I'm glad to have you here. I am so glad you could take time out of your schedule. I know that you have been traveling and on mission in Haiti, glory to God, and back here in the States. And I'm so grateful for you taking time out of your schedule to be with us here on Shabbat Saturday, glory to God. I know that there is a great shaking going on in the heavenly realm. Just look around you, people of God. As the woman of God says, all of this that's happening around me, I'm not okay with it, Father, and I really don't know how to handle it, but yet we know that there is one, hallelujah, who can handle it. He said, come to me, all ye who are heavy laden, burdened, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke. Take my yoke. Take my yoke. That means that you learn to walk in the rest of God, resting in him, in ministry, in living, in being, in the name of Jesus. Again, I'm very grateful, man of God, and encouraged for your presence today. And I know that this day is going to mark the beginning of many days, or new days, I should say, for those that are listening and that will be listening on the replay in the name of Jesus. And we can rejoice and be glad, and it is a day like none other, glory to God, this day that the Lord has ordained in Jesus' name. So, man of God, I'm not going to belabor the hour. I thank you again for being here with us. I want to welcome you again for joining us. You and those that will be listening or are listening, amen. Please, man of God, go forth and share with our Elation family and the listening audience what the Spirit of God has placed on your heart for his people. You have liberty. The mic is yours. Go forth. Love you much.
Amen. And I bless God for this opportunity and this chance. I never take it lightly that God opens a door to bring a right now word to a right now people. We're going to read two passages of scripture in your hearing today. We want to honor all those who are listening at this time. Honor you, Apostle Westbrook. Thank you for your servanthood and for all that God does through you. We bless God for your great producer, Sister Kimmy Kim, the Shabbat Saturday family, and all who make up this thing. This is the day that the Lord has made. I don't know about you, but I've chosen to rejoice and to be glad in it. And just for a few minutes, I'm going to read some scripture to you, and we're going to talk about some things. I know there are some of you out there listening, some who may be even watching at this particular time, as I have certain ones who wanted to come on TikTok because they didn't want to come on the phone line. So I told them I would open that up for them, and I want to welcome all of you who are in here now. But I need you to understand, you need to support this great radio show. It comes on every Saturday at 3 p.m. She's here each and every Saturday. And, of course, you already know the number, 646-564-9842. But let's get to the word, because I didn't come to do advertisements. I came to advertise for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Two passages of scripture that I'm going to read. I'm going to start with Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 through 9, and then I'm going to shift down to Jeremiah chapter 18, 1 through 6. Haggai says this. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. Shifting over very quickly to Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands, so the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, cannot I do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand. And I got to go back to verse 6 in Jeremiah 18, for this really is where we want to build the message from. He said, cannot I do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like the clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O Israel. For just a few minutes, I want to talk about the subject. If he did it before, he can do it again. If he did it before, he can do it again. Let's pray. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the entrance of your word, which always brings light. God, we thank you for allowing us to be let down into your storehouse. God, open up the windows of heaven. Break up the fountains of the deep. Bring forth that which is going to be needed and necessary for your people, that they may flourish, Father God, that they may be restored, that they will be revived, Father God. They will be corrected and reconnected in some cases. Oh, God, nobody can do it like you can do. We loose the angels of the Lord to go up and down throughout these airways, Father God, whichever way it is, whether it is by social media or whether it's by, Father God, this phone line or wherever you may, they may be listening. No matter where they're listening, God, we need you to speak to them in this day and in this hour. I decrease. I'm stepping back. Holy Spirit, we need you to do what you do best. And so, Father, we just thank you in advance for all that you are about to do and all that you are about to release unto these thine people. For it's in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus that we go forward. Amen. If he did it before, again. Beloved, there are times in our lives when we as believers must take the time to understand not just our assignments, but we have to understand the priorities that have been set before us before we can even implement those priorities or that assignment. And once we perceive what is most important in the eye and the mind of God and the work that God has assigned to each of us, we're only halfway there. Now, this is not about what we think, how we feel, our perspective. It's about God's perspective. So in reading the book of Haggai, it becomes clear to me that Haggai had a big picture perspective. Haggai had a great big picture perspective. He didn't just see what was in front of him. He saw God's vision, and he didn't focus on personal interest, neither did he focus upon immediate gratification, neither was he focused on easy results, and he wasn't focused on pleasing people. He turned around and he put himself in a position, and he, instead of focusing on those things, he put first things first. Now, in the second chapter of this particular book, the prophet addresses the complaints of the nation simply and in a straightforward manner. The prophet spoke as God gave him utterance and gave his countrymen the divine perspective on the challenge that was set before him. As you go in and you begin to read, he tells them to go speak to the Zerubbabel, who was the prophet at the time, and Shealtiel, who was the governor of Judah. Turns around and he tells the high priest and the remnant of the people, and he asks them, who of you is left of this house in its former glory? How does it look now? What did it used to look like? Does it not seem like nothing to you? He says, but now be strong. And I like when he turns them in verse 4 to tell them to be strong, Zerubbabel. He declares, he says, be strong, son of Joshua, the high priest. Be strong. And God is saying to you and I today, be strong. We know we're among perilous times, and men are lovers of themselves and heady and high-minded and boastful and egotistical. And we got people who are in the pulpit, and I say sometimes pimps in the pulpit, prostituting this gospel, taking the time to push their agenda, never mind what God has given to them to do. They're making a business out of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When did we get the permission from God to go and start charging for people to walk into what should be the house of prayer? Let me get back to this word because I'm about to go off the deep end already. He says, all the people of the land declares the Lord, and the work for I am with you declares the Lord Almighty. And this is the covenant that I have made with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. One of the first things God tells them is do not fear. I'm trying to encourage somebody's heart today. Now is not the time to lose heart. Now is not the time to become faint of heart. Now is not the time to become fearful. We sometimes spend too much time crying and complaining about our situations and our circumstances, and we only need to trust the Lord with all our heart, not leaning to our own understanding and all our ways. It becomes important for us to acknowledge God in everything we do. All I'm trying to say is we need to admit the fact that he is the one in control of our lives. We have to recognize the fact that our steps are literally being ordered by him, which becomes evidence that we are letting go of that which we are hoping, holding on to. We're letting go of our belief. We're letting go of those things that we've been clinging to, and we're allowing God to be God in every part of our lives. Let's take a look at what the prophet lays out, what Jeremiah is laying out, and understand why I believe he said if he did it before, he'd do it again. Jeremiah, God sends Jeremiah down into the place where the potters are working, and Jeremiah doesn't have to go too far. He only has to go just down the street. And in the 18th chapter, we see God sending this prophet down to do some observational work, watching this potter put shape, form, and bring clay into some type of formation. He had a working, he's working on the potter's wheel. Now, how many of us have ever seen God pay attention to the details of what's most important to us? God will not call us to do menial work without helping us to understand what the work is. Jeremiah notices that the clay is taking form and shaping to look like a certain type of vessel, and then suddenly it becomes, there was some glitch, there was some problem with the way he was shaping. There was some hiccup, some doohickey. The clay gets messed up in his hand, in the hand of the potter, but thank God, that skilled potter was able to redo or rework the work that he had started. Some of us have to come to the realization that God is not trying to throw you away. God ain't got a frying pan because you messed up and ready to bash you upside your head. You are a process in the eyes of God. I've heard too many people say when they first got saved, they were all right until they did this. And then they felt like God no longer loved them. Let me tell you something, beloved. You have to understand that salvation is not an overnight thing. Salvation takes time, just like we plant seeds and grow vegetables and things. You put the seed in the ground, but keep in mind that seed in its origination does not look like what it is going to become. You have to first and foremost get the ground fertile. You know, and when they fertilize fertilized ground, they use a thing called compost or fertilizer, which contains a multitude of ingredients. I'm trying to let some of you know the stuff that you're going through, the people that you're dealing with, the situations that you are trying to work your way through. In other words, the crap that you have to put up with is the fertilizer for the ground as you, the seed, is being planted. But let me say this before I go there. You cannot be planted if you're not first and foremost willing to give yourself away. I know you're looking back on what it used to be and how things used to be. I can go back into the days and I can sit here. We had what we call traditional church. We have to understand that traditional church no longer exists. God is doing something new. But just for the fun of it, let's go back for a split second. How many of you remember when we would come in, we'd have Sunday school first thing in the morning, and then there'd be a break in between Sunday school and morning service. The choir would line up in the back vestibule and begin to march in on whatever song they were singing, whether it's "We Come By Far, This Far By Faith," or "We're Marching to Zion," or whatever the song may be. And when the choir got in the choir stand, the preacher would come and do the opening prayer, and you guys know how the whole process went. That was church to us. Now, since COVID has come, church has had to shift. Church has had to change. And God is trying to let us know that if he did it before and his glory met us in that building before COVID came, God is able to do this thing again. We have to come to the realization that God is not trying to throw us away in the process of his shaping us because of our sins, because of our willful disobedience, or because of our weariness that forced us to give up. He had to rework us in a way that he could get us back on track and headed toward the destiny that he has created for each and every one of us from eternity past. In any case, in case you didn't know, you did not just show up on the face of the earth. God always had a plan for your life from the very day God saw you in his eye in eternity past. God knew who you were and what you were going to be. He also had a specific purpose for you. And not only did he have a purpose for you, God gave you the ability to fulfill the purpose that he has placed within you in the lives of us to benefit other people. God has given us gifts and talents. The Bible says in the book of Romans, I believe it's chapter 11, verse 29, for the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable, which simply means that God has placed us in a position where he gave us a specific purpose that you and only you have the ability to fulfill in the lives and for the benefit of other people. We have been sentenced to a life of favor in God, but we have an enemy trying to pull that favor away from us. We have an enemy that's trying to make us think that we are worthless. We have an enemy who's trying to make us feel like we have nothing to live for. We have an enemy that's trying to talk to some of you and tell you to kill yourself. We have an enemy that's trying to drag you through the mud. But I'm here to let you know that God says, I've come, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You are here for the benefits of others. You will be a sentence in the life of some. You'll be a paragraph in the life of others. You'll be a chapter in the life of still others. And then there are those of you who will co-star in other people's books, in your major book called the Book of Life. Whatever it is God has designed for you, you are not going to miss out on your destiny and your purpose if you learn to let go and let God. By now, some of you might be thinking, I'm not good enough, I'm not strong enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not smart enough. Let me put something into your mind that you might not have thought about. If God needed you to think and to plan out his purpose in your little peanut brain, he would have consulted with you on how to get the job done. Let me be the one to burst your bubble. God needs you to walk by faith and not by sight. God needs you to have complete confidence in him and in him alone, not in your might, not in your power, not in your ability, but in his spirit. I can see why Paul said what he said in Ephesians 3:20 when he says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power that works in us. Beloved, if he did it before, he can do it again. Some of us need to think back to what God has done when we first came to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and how you through him were able to conform to his death, how you were able to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and not make provision for your flesh. You realize that you've been crucified with Christ. You put to death many deeds that were in your flesh. You recognize that the lust and those greedy desires were dragging you down, but you turned around and made this confession, which you can find in Galatians 2:20, which simply says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet it's not I, but it's Christ who lives in me. You were willing to surrender yourself. You were willing to give yourself up. You recognize that it's not you in your physical being that's living this life by faith, but it is your obedience as you allow the Lord Jesus Christ to live in you. And the life you're now living in the flesh, you're living by the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave himself up just for you. Yes, little old you with all your little idiosyncrasy. Yes, little old you who was hung up in the middle of your hang-ups. He was hung up for your hang-ups. Yes, little old you with whatever it is you may have done. Stop whipping yourself. Stop beating yourself down and turn and look to the hills from which cometh your help. Recognize that your help is coming from the Lord. Excuse me. Somewhere down the line, there are some of you who are on here who are listening right now. You walk with the Lord. You talk with the Lord. You walked in the power of his might. Oh, but somewhere in your walk with the Lord, some of you became stagnant. You stopped moving with God. God moved forward and you stood still. You got messed up listening to the multiple voices of the world. You started listening to the voice of strangers, and it caused the work in you to take a detour down an avenue that I'm going to label as useless. You were going down a street called wasted time, and like the clay on the potter's wheel mentioned in Jeremiah 18, you allowed your destiny to become murky, to become messed up, to become marred. You can't see where you're going, but thank God that we are, as humans, are not the potters of life, because if it were up to some of us, we'd still be aimlessly roamed down the road. We'd still be a mess in the middle of a mess. We'd still be on jacked up lane. We would still be, you know, people would look at us and start calling us Uncle Useless or Aunt Good for Nothing. You'd still be looking for an excuse as to why you can't get back on track. You start blaming other folk for your derailment in life. I'm here to let somebody know that if it ain't over until God says it over, it will not end until my Father in heaven says you can go. Excuse me. You can go no more. Somebody has to understand that God really is able to put you back together again. But look, if he did it before, he can do it again. If you were saved at one particular time, God is ready to reclaim you. He says in his word, I am married to the backslider. If you have been healed or have been delivered and your disease tries to come back on you, if he did it before, he can do it again. We serve Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. He has the ability to take out anything that might attack you mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically, and even financially. If he taught you, if he brought you up out of that horrible pit, he can do it again. Some of us has to understand that in God just wants to work with you. All God wants from you is a yes. That's all God is looking for. God just needs a yes from somebody. God needs an opportunity and a chance to show himself strong on your behalf. Some of us think that it's over. We can't go any further. We've done all we can do, and there's just no hope. The situation is hopeless. We look out into the streets. I live in the DMV area, very close to D.C., and with all the gunslinging, not just in D.C., but in Chicago and down in Atlanta and out in L.A., wherever you may be listening, if you're listening overseas, those inner cities, it seems like our young people have lost their way. What happened to the fervor and the fire? Some of us have come out of those situations. Some of us have come out of those circumstances. Why are we not out there letting somebody know that God is yet still able to deliver? The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord when he told him to arise and go. God sometimes uses his prophets and he uses his people today to help us to learn a lesson through what an observation or something of that. He helps us to understand the message that he's conveying. What is God saying to you today? What is God trying to share with you today? Are you listening to what our Father in heaven is saying? Are you paying attention to where God is trying to take you? We're so busy trying to build our brand and to build our name and to go out there and just let the world know that I'm the anointed appointed of God. I'm Bishop Ernest E. Richard, called by God. That ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm a messenger and a servant of the Most High. I have to recognize that God has need of me, and God wants to put me in a special position. God can use you wherever you are. The question is, are you willing to let go? Are you willing to let God? Are you going to hold back there? Are you going to keep your hands on all that stuff that's going on? Paul said it best. He turned around when he said in Philippians, I believe it was the 4th chapter, he says to forget those things that are behind you. Forget your past failures. Forget your past hiccups. Your past mess up. Forget when your life got marred because you took a detour. You've got to learn to stop looking in the rear view mirror of your life. You got to stop paying attention to those little things that happened back then. Those things happened because, A, number one, you walked in disobedience for a short span. And then on the second side, you got to realize some of those things happened because God needed that situation to help develop you, to help make you, to help shape you, to put you in a position so that you would move forward. But some of you, the minute you got in trouble, the minute the storm began to rise, the minute those tornadoes of life began whirling, the minute those hurricanes of life started blowing, those strong winds, that tsunami of life came to wipe you out. You were ready to holler, I quit. You were ready to holler, I give up. You were ready to throw in the towel. But I'm here to let you know that God is ready to raise you back up again and do better with you the second time than he did the first time. All you've got to do is see that the hand of the Lord is upon you. I'm thinking about a young man by the name of Joseph, who was the beloved son of one Jacob, and he loved him and made him a coat of many colors. But I don't want to go through all that. Joseph turned around and shared a dream with his brothers and let his brothers know that God showed him something where he was going to be a ruler at once, a given point in time. Well, his brothers got jealous, and so his brothers devised a plan whereby they can get Joseph out of their hair. One day, Jacob sends Joseph out to check on his brothers to see how they're doing in servicing the sheep and getting the sheep out there in Shechem. Nonetheless, he gets out there, and then the brothers decide to throw him down in a pit. I got another message coming up real soon, and I'm just going to simply give you a small taste of it. But love, you need to understand when you fall into a pit, your pit has a purpose. You didn't just fall into a pit just for the sake of falling in a pit. Well, let me go on with the story, and I'm trying to make sure we understand what's going on here, and God wanted to use you. If God brought Joseph out of that pit, was sold to the Midianites or the Ishmaelites, the Midianites, excuse me, and then to the Egyptians. And Joseph, from age 17 up to age 30, was in the middle of a process whereby God got him ready to become the second lieutenant over the country of Egypt. Now, he turned around, a famine came, as God showed, and what got Joseph out of jail was the fact that Pharaoh had a dream, and he talked about this dream, and Joseph interpreted the dream for Pharaoh, letting him know that there were going to be 7 years of plenty, but then there were going to come 7 years of famine, and he talked about cows, some thick, fat cows, and then some skinny cows, and he said the skinny cows started eating up the fat cows. Now, some of you say, well, preacher, where are you going? It seems like you're all over the place. No, I'm trying to help you understand that the scripture says, and we know all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. Joseph was called according to God's purpose. So whatever it is you're going through, whatever it is you're dealing with, whatever the situation or the circumstance is that God has placed you in, trust the process. But more importantly, keep looking to the hills from which cometh your help. Keep your hand in God's hand. Be steadfast and unmovable. Continue to abound in the work of the Lord. God is waiting and willing to take you where he needs to take you. The question is, are you ready to go? You got to understand, in watching the potter work, Jeremiah paid attention to the lump of clay, or what caused that vessel to become marred, and how he saw how the potter was beginning to start over again. He began to make something different than what he originally planned, and the potter's power and ability was manifested in his manipulation of the clay. And we have to understand this. The clay, meaning you and I, in the potter's hand, meaning God's hand, puts us in a great position. God loves us. God loves us. And God wants to work with us, work through us, work for us. God is waiting and willing to take us wherever it is that he needs to take us. Now, what I want to take away from this lesson is simply this. The potter's house was not primarily, per se, what God wanted to do. God can do whatever he wants to do, and we all know that. The main lesson is God is free to respond to his people according to his own moral conduct standards and choices. And God made promises to us. He is not trying to take those promises from us. We restrict God in our lives when we turn around and cringe and go high. My question to you today is, what is it that God needs to do again in your life? What is it that God needs to work you through? What is it that God needs to rebuild and replant and restore in you? If he did it before, he can most certainly do it again. God is able. Beloved, please hear me when I say this. God is waiting and willing. Some of you sitting here listening to me now, you're listening to the radio, and some of you have contemplated suicide. Some of you had what's called church hurt. Let me help you out with something. There is nothing in this whole world that's labeled church hurt. Church hurt is hurt. It don't matter if it happens in church. How is it that we can turn around and our boss can cuss us out and tell us off, and yet we'll show up the next day for work? But the minute sister so-and-so or brother such-and-such says the wrong thing to you at the right time, you want to leave the church. You want to walk away. The pastor ain't right. The ushers ain't right. The mother of the church ain't right. The deacons ain't right. The trustees ain't right. Everybody going to hell in your eyesight because one person said the wrong thing to you at the right time. You got to get out of that mindset. Let me help you out with something. If you are going to be in ministry, you've got to have some tough skin. And I believe it was in the book of Isaiah where the word said that we have to set our minds like flint. We have to be tough in the mind. We have to be tough in our emotions. People are going to come against you. Remember, we have an enemy whose job is to steal, kill, and to destroy. And we have a Lord and Savior who reminded us that he's come that we might have life and that we might have the abundance of life. The enemy's doing his job. The enemy's working his work. Why are we not working ours? Our best deal is to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. That's what the word says. You got to understand that he's an adversary. He's as a roaring lion. He's out there trying to seek whom he can devour. The enemy's trying to have lunch at your expense. Let me share something with you, beloved. The enemy ain't got no teeth. The devil ain't got no teeth. Jesus busted him out on Calvary's cross. So he can't chew on you with sharp teeth. He'll gnaw on you. And what I mean by that is he'll send his imps and his wimps and all his little helpers to come and annoy you and try to distract you and try to detour you. But that's the best that he can do. But you know how he's able to do that most of the time? Because you've not learned how to close your big mouth. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. When you start speaking negative, when you start going in disbelief and walking away from the truth of the word, when you stop agreeing with what God says, you're opening the door for the enemy to walk in and to start wreaking havoc. I'm trying to make somebody understand today. God is ready to repair you. God is ready to restore you. God is ready to put you back in your place. God is waiting to help you to refill that space that he once put If he did it before, he can do it again. He's not going to cast you away. He wants to put you back on the wheel of life. He wants to start reshaping you, remaking you. So all I'm going to say to you in closing is this. Yield yourself to God. Confess that you have marred the work that he's done in you and humbly ask him to do it again. It's a simple thing. Say, Lord, do it again. That's all you have to say. Lord, do it again. And he said in when I read the scripture earlier in Haggai, the former, the latter shall be greater than the former. If you think God used you before, beloved, if you say yes to the Lord, you ain't seen nothing yet. God is ready and willing and wanting to work through each and every one of us. I pray that you've gotten something out of this word. I bless God for you and thank God for your coming and listening. I'm going to leave it right there. If he did it before, what is the it that he did before? What is the it in your life? If he did it before, what is the it? You know what it is. I don't. For me, the it was restoring me back into a wealthy place in him. For me, the it is giving me life, health, strength. For me, the it is choosing to use me because he saw the best in me. When everybody else couldn't see anything in me, when everybody around me was trying to reject me, when everybody was trying to cast me aside, when everybody was trying to tell me I was useless, I was worthless, I ain't going nowhere, I ain't going to be nothing. I tell you a quick story. My mother said when I first got saved, boy, you ain't saved, you ain't even satisfied. Well, you know what? I bless God that I persevered and kept going forward and kept moving forward. There was a point in time when my mother had a problem with her foot and with her leg, and she was having trouble standing up. And I asked her what was wrong on this particular day, and she told me, I said, can I pray for you? And she said, go ahead. Well, I went and prayed for my mother, and God healed her in that same self moment. And from that point on, my mother believed that God is and that God did dwell in me. And it's not about me. It's about God using situations and using circumstances to show himself strong. But, love, I often say to the believers, don't be discouraged in what I'm about to say, but I got to say this. To the believers, you are the healed. You don't need a physician. It's the ones out there who don't know Jesus Christ and the pardoning of their sins. Those who don't know Jesus Christ and his fellowship, the power of his resurrection. Those who don't know who Jesus is. Those are the people I'm fishing for. Because I'm not going to spend time trying to preach to the choir, so to speak, except to encourage you and to build you up. I'm not going to spend time chasing after those who are already saved because there are unsaved folk out there. My job is to prepare you to go out there and to get the sheep that are roaming around lost. My job is to prepare you so that you can go out into the hedges and into the highways and compel them. Some of you had great outreach ministry. Some of you did great evangelistic work. Some of you did great missions work. And something happened along the way that you stopped doing it. What happened? All I'm encouraging you to do is take a moment and do like David did in Psalm, I believe it was 51. Just take a moment and pray and say, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercy. Blot out my transgression. God, where I fail, where I've fallen short, restore me. And then get up after he has restored you and go back to doing what he has called you to do. Look at where we are today. And I have to look at myself when I say this. If I had kept doing about 30 years ago what I was doing, you would not be talking to me today. But to God be the glory. If he did it before, he will do it again. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Heaven smile upon you. Dr. Westbrook, I turn it back in your hands.
Glory to God. If he did it before, he can do it again and again and again in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much indeed. A Kairos word for our listeners on today. Listen, You cannot be planted unless you first are willing to give yourself into the hands of the potter, is what the man of God said. That hit me like an arrow to my heart. So stop waiting for somebody to approve you, as the man of God says. My Lord, stop waiting for someone else to affirm you. You are in the hands of the potter, the creator, who knows the very hairs on your head. And he's not trying to, amen, do anything other than what his plan is for your life.
And
he already knows your deficits. He knows your idiosyncrasies, as the man of God says. But I am encouraged, and I want you to be encouraged too by this word on today. He already designed and know what was needed and will be needed for you on this journey. And he has placed that in you. Why are you not walking in it? The man of God said that we walk by faith and not by sight. If we were already perfect, we would not need a God. We
Amen.
Would not need Jesus. Amen? Scripture
Amen.
Is so profound. As the man of God read and then released in our hearing from Jeremiah 18, he went 1 to 6, but I focus on 3 and 4 and tie in also Isaiah 64. The Lord himself said that he is the Father and we are the clay.
Yes.
He formed us, and we are
Amen.
This treasure in jars of clay to show that his all-surpassing power, amen, is in us, operationally and functionally. I'm paraphrasing. We have this treasure in jars
amen.
Of clay, and if he did
amen.
It before, he certainly
can do it
again. And has given you everything that you need to accomplish it in the name
Amen.
Of Jesus, as he has already made a spin show and spoil of the enemy through the cross in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
So people of God, if you have heard the man of God release a prayer, amen, or a cry of repentance and your obedience today to God brings you to the place of blessing. But you
yes.
must be in the posture of obedience. And this declaration, if you were listening intentionally, this declaration released in your hearing today will indeed keep you on track in the name of Jesus, will indeed release to you all that the Father has already purposed and preordained for your life in the name of Jesus. If he did it before, he will certainly do it for you again. He is taking you through. He is taking you through. Not to be weak-kneed in a jelly back.
Come on now.
Walk in the fullness of the Godhead of who he is. And to demonstrate his glory to this world, this earth, this place where we are, so that his glory may be made manifest. Because already we can see, just look outside your window, just look at the headlines. All of creation is travailing and groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. Everyone,
amen.
My prayer today is that you will heed this admonition from the Holy Spirit and words of encouragement. And if you find yourself not in that place, well, this is your opportunity to make a adjustment, to make a correction, to make a reset, to do a self-examination. And my prayer
Amen.
Is that the Lord God himself, the God of hope, will fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, knowing that if he did it before, he will certainly do it again, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You again, man of God, for coming and being with us and releasing that word. It has certainly blessed my soul, and I'm sure it has blessed the hearers that are now with us and those that will be listening on the replay in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Bishop.
Amen.
I have a question for you, and for those who don't know you, how can they connect with you and share with us what the ministry is doing and if they would like to become partners in Jesus' name?
Well, they can go to www.pwrtostand.com or pwrtostand.org. On there, we have several pages. Whether you want to leave a message for me personally, leave it for my staff, we have a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request. If you want to be anonymous, that's fine. If you want us to reach out to you, leave us the information we need to reach out to you, and we will get to you as soon as possible. Of course, you can see me on all social media. Look for Preacher 719 or Bishop Ernest D. Richard, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you know the story. Just reach out and say hi. That's all you have to do. And I'm not that type of person where you got to go talk to my people. I'm very personable, very down to earth. Jesus was among those who needed, and I want to be the same way. If I can't, I don't want to be religious and so high-minded, Apostle Westbrook, that people can't come to me, can't touch
Amen.
Me, can't talk to me, make an appointment. I don't need an appointment book. Here it is in a nutshell. This is ministry. And if we're going to be in ministry, let's do it right.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He made himself available to everyone.
That's right.
He did not exclude anyone or a set of people. He made himself available to whomsoever in the name of Jesus.
That's exactly what we need to do. Make ourselves available. Giving yourself away means you have to be available. You know, giving yourself away means that you decrease, that the Holy Spirit may increase. And one of the things while we're talking in relation to the message, we have to have a level of transparency. And if people can't see us in the same state, not the same state, but if they can't see the person in us, won't be able to see the God who works and lives through us. I just want to throw that out there.
Amen. Amen. They become a witness to the transformation that our lives indeed are. Epistles read of men, the word made manifest Amen. In us as we walk it out, my God, today. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they see the demonstration and the manifestation of that word working in us.
Yes.
Ah, my God. I bless you again, man of God. I thank you so much for this relationship. I think it's been a number of years now. Glory to God. And I'm so grateful that you, again, took time out to come and share a Kairos word with the people of God today. You just don't
Amen.
Know how much that means to me. Your consistency, man of God, has always blessed my life. And even the lives of the pointers, amen, keep them in your prayers. Glory to God.
I so miss them. Would you give them, tell them when you talk to them that I love them, I miss them, and I kind of wish they'd come back and let's just fellowship. I know things have been going on in their lives. We're praying for them, especially Bishop Pointer. And, you know, I mean, that couple right there, there's something special about that couple right there. That's all I'm
yes.
going to say.
Amen. Amen. If you are inclined, because I know that I don't know if they're on or listening or will be listening on the rebroadcast, as you're led by the Holy Spirit, would you lift up a prayer of intercession for Bishop Pointer and Pastor Pointer now?
Well, let's do that right now. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you first and foremost for the entrance of your word, which always brings light. God, your word never returns unto you void, but it accomplishes that which we send it out to do. And your word prospers in the thing whereunto it's sent. At this particular time, God, we lift up two wonderful servants of yours, Bishop Pointer and Pastor Pointer, God. We thank you first of all for their life, for their health, God. We ask that you would strengthen them in the inner man. Father God, those situations and circumstances that are trying to hamper them, God, this too shall pass in the name of Jesus. You said if any two shall touch and agree, it's touching any one thing. Father God, you said you would do it. And so, God, we touch and agree, Father God, for the enemy to be stopped in his tracks. God, you did say in your word, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against you. And God, we thank you now that the standard has been lifted. We thank you right now that they are prospering spiritually, mentally, emotionally, even physically and financially, Father God. We bless you that you're opening doors for them to minister in such a way as they have never done before. God, we thank you that they no longer do church as usual, but they do unusual church. And Father God, we thank you for every individual that you bring into their presence, every individual that you bring into their ministry, every worker that comes, Father God. We thank you that they work heartily like the people of the days of Nehemiah when they repaired the wall, God. We thank you that the people have a willing mind to work. And so, God, we praise you for working in, with, and through them. And, God, even while I'm praying, bless this woman of God as she moves forward, God. We thank you for the work she does with the upper room and all the other places that you move her to how she takes the time to minister to the homeless, God. We ask that you would restore her, Father God. Some have written her off. Some say she ain't going nowhere. But, God, they don't know what you know, and they can't see what you see. And so, Father God, oh, bless your name, God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for raising them up, God. Thank you for raising all three of them up, putting them in a new place, God, bringing them to a new place in you. God, let the people see that it's your hand that's upon them. They're not moving by their might or nor by their power, but it's by your spirit that they move. And so, God, we thank you for multiplying the blessing upon each one of them. In Jesus' name, hey, God, amen, 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 amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen, amen, and amen. And we seal this prayer in the blood. Glory. We seal it in the blood in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you. Abba, Father, we thank you. Glorious, awesome, and magnificent Father, we thank you now for glory that those who are under the sound of our voices and now and later on the rebroadcast will experience a great manifestation of your power and your presence as now in the name of Jesus, and touch the life and nature of God within them, Father God. Let change take place now, hallelujah, because of the word in the name of Jesus. We thank you again, Bishop, so much for joining us this Shabbat Saturday, my God, today. And those who are listening, we thank you. We love you. We bless the Lord for you and for your support. Again, please go to Facebook and check out and partner with Power to Stand Ministries and Bishop Ernest Richards. Amen. In the name of Jesus, doing a great work for the kingdom. You should say Power to Stand Ministries International, man of God, because you've crossed the waters. And for those who may want to, glory to God, reach out to me or to Dr. Kimmy Kim. Amen. I'm on Facebook at PD Westbrook. And also you can email me at healingmountainsministries@gmail.com. And also Dr. Robinson is on Facebook with Elation Radio. Glory to God. At Kimmy Robinson in Jesus' name. All of you.
Amen.
Please know that we love you. We appreciate you. And again, we bless the Lord for your presence. Again, please join us again next Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for another Shabbat Saturday at this great station, Elations Radio. Thank you again, Bishop Ernest Richard. Love you, man of God. And I still have those coats and blankets. Amen. Glory to God that you can take to Haiti in the name of Jesus. And we certainly will backchannel and talk.
Because of the uprisings in there, we can't get to the mountains. And we so desperately need to get there because we want to thank you, too. You shared with us financially, and you don't realize it, but you're part of a church, an actual building that's being built up in the mountains. We haven't had a chance to go see it because of the unrest, but at some point, God willing, we can all just take a trip and go out there and see what God has done.
I am looking forward to that. I have my passport, amen, immediately when I received that prophetic word about travel abroad, certainly the Lord is opening up doors and invitations for going to the continent of Africa. And I am looking forward to going to Haiti in the name of Jesus. Much work to be done You know, we as the people here in the United States, we do take so many things for granted in Jesus' name, and we need to stop and realize how blessed we are as a nation and as a people. But again, thank you again, man of God, for joining us. Love you tremendously. Thank you, Dr. Kimmy Kim, our producer. Amen. Praying that the Lord continue to expand, enlarge, oh my God, make large your territory, woman of God. Thank you for your heart and for your tenacity. May the Lord God continue to use you, great woman of God. We love her, don't we? Now, please.
Amen.
Close us out.
All right.
Shalom, everyone. We'll see you next week. God bless.
Hey! Hey, I'm Dr. Scott, and I'm here with my good friend, Shirley Murdoch.